like it over time it became a point for the tourist attraction that people just came to see the cross part and then they stopped. And they never went beyond that. They never went to actually look at and to visit and to contemplate the empty tomb. Now, I want you to think with me for a moment, because I'm pretty sure that in, you know, we talk about culture in general a lot. We talk about the culture that we live in, the culture of America and culture at large. But, you know, we also have something called a culture of church. You realize that, right? I mean, American Christianity has a church culture. Every church has its own culture. We have our own unique language and words that we use sometimes, and people who come to visit us sometimes get confused by the things that we say. But in the culture of church, we tend to really focus upon the cross. We have one in our worship center, right? A beautiful cedar cross, and rightly so, because it's upon the cross that our Savior bled. It's upon the cross that He died, and that wood of the cross was the instrument of our redemption. And we know, I hope, that without the cross there is no salvation, right? Amen? Without the cross there is no salvation. But far, far too people in the church these days seek to move beyond the cross and seek to find the true meaning of Easter, which is the resurrection. The true meaning of this day is the empty tomb. I want you to think about it. I mentioned this in our worship time a moment ago. Every Christmas we gather in amazement that Jesus would leave the splendor of heaven and come down to our little planet, right? And become a human and experience life as a person, life here on earth. And on Good Friday, I hope you did this on Good Friday, but we wonder in humble amazement that Jesus would do that for us. That He would do that for me, that He would endure the torture that He went through, that He would hang on the cross and die, that He would take the punishment that I deserve and die on my behalf. But then we come to this day. We come to Resurrection Sunday. It's the climax. It's the highest point. It's the mountaintop of Jesus' ministry on earth. And now this is what we celebrate, the empty tomb. This is why we come together, not just because Jesus came, not just because Jesus died, but because Jesus rose from the grave, because He overcame death. You see, if Jesus had only come to earth, He would have just been a visitor, you know? He'd just been like, you know, God on a holiday. Just came to visit for a while and stay for a while. If He had only died, then He would just be like another religious teacher. He'd be like another Buddha, another Muhammad who went to the grave and never came back, but died just like any person. But He didn't just come to earth. He didn't just die on the cross. He rose from the tomb. He is risen. Say, you're good, you're good. That, folks, is the excitement of Christianity. That is the uniqueness of our faith. We've heard the story time and time again, and we've considered it this morning. I hope we never tire of hearing those words, knowing the truth that Jesus Christ is risen from the grave. I hope that we'll never cease to be amazed, to be awestruck at this incredible fact that death could not contain the Lord of life. Death could not hold Him back. Death could not hold Him down. And most of all, I hope that we'll become resolved to the fact and accept and know and understand this simple fact that Jesus Christ is alive today. He is alive right now. That's what I want us to consider for just a few moments this morning, the fact that Jesus is alive. You know, at Christmas we celebrate when He comes. We celebrate that moment in time. On Good Friday we celebrate that moment of death that came and went. But folks, the resurrection is forever. He is alive and He remains alive, and we continue to celebrate that day in, day out, every day that we walk in Him, every day that we walk with Him. That changes everything. The Apostle Paul put it pretty bluntly in 1 Corinthians 15:14. I want you to look at what Paul said. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless and so is your faith. Without a resurrected Savior, there is no salvation. So what does that mean for you and me? What does it mean, the fact that He is risen? Well, I want to suggest four amazing, and if you'll let them be, life-changing things that you can experience. You, personally, you as a believer can experience in the resurrection. I want you to write these things down. You see, I've only got four blanks for you today. How amazing is that? It must be a wonderful Christian holiday, right? That Jeff has four blanks for you today, and they all look just alike almost. But here's what I want you to write down. Number one, what do we need to know about the resurrection? Well, firstly, friends, there is love in the resurrection. Amen? Amen. Love. 1 John 4:9, John tells us this. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. How amazing is that? We see that love in a painful way on the cross. We see the extent of God's love for us as we reflect on the death of Jesus Christ. But folks, it does not end there. The love of God didn't just send Jesus to the cross. The love of God brought him back to life. The love of God brought him forth from the grave. The love of God didn't just leave Jesus in the tomb. It didn't just leave us in despair, but it raised Jesus back to life so that we might live through him. Love hates death. You realize that, right? And we all know this. When we experience death of someone we love, we hate it, don't we? We fight it. That's our nature. Love hates death. Love struggles against death. Love always struggles in favor of life. And in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, love wins. It overcomes death. There is love in the resurrection, not just expressed in terms of God's love for us, but we also see that the love that's contained in the resurrection overflows to others. Consider what John said, 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death to life. How? Because we love each other. We can know that we participate in the resurrection in the life of Jesus Christ because it's supposed to spill over into our relationships with one another. And we really tend to think about what's in it for us, don't we? We think about what we receive from this amazing love of the resurrection, but it's not supposed, you were never created to be a repository of blessing, right? You're never created to be the end of all things. But God loves you and pours his love into you so that you can pour it out unto other people, relationships with people, even those people who are difficult to love, right? We know any of those? Some of you might be that person, you just don't know. But Jesus prayed that the world would actually know us by the way we treat one another. And by the ways that we love one another. This resurrection love needs to characterize every one of our conversations. It needs to be the central part of how we interact with one another. And by saying this, I'm not just talking about the nice, easy, warm, fuzzy, happy part of love. But you know, love is also confrontational sometimes, isn't it? Love has accountability involved. You know, there comes a point where in Christ, we have to speak the truth in love to a brother or sister to bring them back to where they need to be. To bring them back into a place of fellowship, to bring them back into a place of obedience and holiness. That's what the resurrection of Jesus Christ calls us to do. It calls us to love one another, to abandon our own needs and desires so that we can lift one another up. God's kingdom cannot sustain harsh, critical, unloving spirits and words among us. They need to be replaced with the incredible love, the love of God, that is so powerful that it raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That's what's going to grow a strong bride of Christ. That's what's going to make Christianity irresistible to the people who are outside of it. You know, as I look around at our world, I'm pretty sure that, and it's not just because it's an old name of a song, but love is what this world needs. You realize that? Man, all you got to do is get involved in politics today and turn on some TV and you see hate. Hate. All you got to do is turn on and see people blowing up train stations and blowing up airports and stuff. And you see, there's hate. Our world is consumed with hate. But Jesus Christ came as love. The Bible teaches God is love. Love must overcome. So if you're searching, if you're striving, if you're dying to be loved, then I invite you to come to the empty tomb. Of course, you got to go to the cross first. You have to see the love and forgiveness on the face of God that only came through the power of the cross and through His death and through His blood. But you don't stay at the cross because, listen, folks, I don't care what little pieces of jewelry look like. Jesus is not hanging on the cross anymore. He is not on the cross. He went to the grave and He came forth from the grave and He is alive today. And if you will trust Him, you'll discover love beyond anything that you can ever imagine. Second thing that we see in the resurrection, number two, is that there is life. Life in the resurrection. You know, we've all, somewhere along the way, lost someone close to us, you know, someone that we love. For some of us, it may have been recent that you've lost a loved one to death. For some of us, it's been a very, very long time back in the past, but we have all said goodbye to someone as they left this life and stepped into the next. Now, I want you to wonder with me for a moment. What would it have been like, what would it be like to stand at the graveside of a loved one without any knowledge whatsoever that there is life beyond the grave? How sad would that be? How pathetic is that? I can't even imagine that kind of desperation. I don't even want to try to imagine what it would be like to look at a casket in the ground and think, well, this is it. You know, that's it. You live, you pay taxes, you die. And that's it, folks, that is not it. And praise God, I don't even have to try because beyond the grave, beyond the ground, there is life. Jesus showed us there is victory. And it's because Jesus rose from the grave. I found this week. There's a fellow some of you may have heard of before, you literary people, a guy named Victor Hugo. He's a French novelist, and he's best known for one particular work, and I can't speak French. My wife took French in school, but I don't think she can speak it either. She is French, by the way. But it's Les Miserables. That's what it looks like. It looks like Les Miserables, okay? But Les Miserables, okay? That's as close as I can get. But here's what he wrote. Victor Hugo wrote these words, and it's pretty, I just want you to listen. It's amazing. He says, I feel within me that future life. I'm like a forest that has been raised. The new shoots are stronger and brighter. I shall most certainly rise toward the heavens the nearer my approach to the end. The plainer is the sound of immortal symphonies of worlds which invite me. For half a century, I've been translating my thoughts into prose and verse, history, philosophy, drama, romance, tradition, satire, ode, and song. All of these I've tried, but I feel I haven't given utterance to the thousandth part of what lies within me. When I go to the grave, I can say, as others have said, my day's work is done, but I cannot say my life is done, because my work will commence the next morning. The tomb is not a blind alley, it's a thoroughfare. It closes upon the twilight, but opens anew upon the dawn. How beautiful is that? How true is that? Romans chapter 6, Paul says this, starting in verse 4. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have a new life, live a new life. For if we have been united with him in death like this, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. Did you hear that? We will be united with Jesus in His resurrection life. And in fact, that is exactly what happens at the moment when you or I respond in faith to the gospel, to God's plan. Jesus described it as a new birth. Paul described it this way in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. Do you know? Do you know that resurrection life? Paul also said this in Romans 8, verse 11, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. Folks, this is what God freely offers us. This is what he gives. New life. He offers the opportunity for us to participate with Jesus in the life that comes after the resurrection. Folks, Jesus Christ is alive today. He is right here, right now, according to his promise. He brings with him the gift of life, his hand outstretched at this very moment, offering it to you, offering new life to you. But here's the thing, Jesus will never ram it down your throat. He will not force it upon you, but he will give it to you. He offers himself freely, life everlasting, eternal life, life to the full. It's a gift, but it's a gift that you have to choose to receive. What else do we find in the resurrection? Number three, there is hope. Hope in the resurrection. I like hope. Don't y'all like hope? You ever lose hope? Sometimes we do. Friends, I have hope because I know that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. The resurrection gives us hope. For today, it gives us hope for tomorrow. It gives us hope for all of eternity. Hope that things can change. Hope that things will change. Hope that if they don't change and the worst happens and we die, which we will, it's hope that that's not the end. There's more life after that. There's actually better life after that. Life without pain, without sickness, without heartache, without tears. Life without ever having to wonder, hey, Lord, where are you? You ever feel that way sometimes in this life? Come on, be honest. Lord, where are you? We wonder. But we won't have to wonder then because we will look upon him with our own eyes. The scriptures say we will see him face to face. I'm pretty confident we're going to touch him with our own hands. And we'll never have to worry again, hurt again, fret again. Now, I know that for so many people, the one thing that we fear the most is death. Human beings, by our very nature, we are afraid to die. It seems so final. It seems so horrible. Sometimes it seems so unavoidable. But in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, listen, friends, you have hope. Hope for something greater. Hope for something better. Hope for something eternal. We know, because Jesus lives today, that we will live with him. And this hope affects everything. If you walk with Jesus, it affects everything in your life. There's a sociologist from the University of Washington. His name's Rodney Stark. And he studied history, social constructs in history. And he noticed a strange phenomenon. During the times of the Roman Empire, during the early life of the church, whenever a disease plague would strike Rome, your typical Roman, if somebody came down with whatever the plague was in their home, do you know what the typical Roman did with that person? They didn't just kill them, but they threw them out because they were scared of catching the plague. So they cast them out into the streets. I mean, even if it was their own child. Husbands, even if it was their own wife, if they came down with the plague, they're out. But Christians, on the other hand, they had largely overcome their fear of death because of what Christ had done in the empty tomb. And Christians in early Rome actually set up those first clinics, those first hospitals, those first hospice stations where they took care of the sick and dying. And what the sociologists have discovered is that the early Christians who were exposed the most to the plague and to the illness, guess what happened? They didn't die in as great a numbers as the people who cast them out. Why? It was science. They didn't understand it, but they were exposed to it, so they built immunities. It was natural. They developed resistance to the disease, and so they didn't die as in greater numbers. Isn't that pretty cool? Isn't that amazing that even in real life, I'm talking about real physical life with disease, hope overcame death. And in the spiritual world, the spiritual realm, in a spiritual sense, hope has overcome death. For each of us, when that moment of death comes, and it will come. I know some of you young people think you're going to live like 1,000 years or something. Just wait 20, and when the aches and the creaks and the joints don't work anymore, you know, and the hair, you know, gravity. Right? Some of you young bucks around here, the chest poked out. It's going to go. It's going to fall. It's coming. But when that moment of death comes, folks, listen, we have hope because we know that Jesus is waiting on the other side. We know that He's there to take our hand and take us across to be with Him where He is. Yes, we're going to the grave, but folks, Jesus went to the grave. He's been there and done that, and He overcame it so that you can as well. There was a missionary in Brazil, and this was in the rainforest of Brazil, and he discovered a really remote tribe in a part of the jungle there, and they live right next to this huge river. It wasn't the Amazon, it was a tributary of the Amazon. And there was actually a sickness that had entered their village, and probably it came, in all odds, with the missionary. Because they brought in a bug from somewhere else, and people were sick, people were dying. Now, they needed medical attention, and the hospital wasn't that far away. The hospital was about 2 miles away on the other side of the river. But the problem was, these people were afraid of the river. See, everyone they'd ever knew who had gone into the river never came out. The river drowned people. The river was full of evil spirits, and the river took people's lives. They would fetch a little water from it, but they're not going in there. They didn't put any part of their body in the river. They absolutely refused, and this missionary begged them to cross over the river with him. It wasn't that far. I mean, it was swimmable. It's no problem. And he begged them to go, and they're like, no way, I'm not going. And he wanted to show him, he wanted to dispel this myth for them that there's something evil in that water. So he went down to he knelt down, and he dipped his hand in the water, and they're like, not impressed, I'm not going there. And then he got splash water on him, and they're like, not going. He even walked out in the water up to his waist. He knelt down in it, got up to his neck, and he stuck his head under and came up, and they're like, nah. Not going that. We're not going. Not going. And then the man turned around and did a dive right in the water. And he's a good swimmer. He went underwater and stayed underwater. And they're thinking, see, we told him. But he was swimming underwater, and he came up on the bank on the other side and stood up on the bank and raised his fist up in the air. And they just, they cheered, and they're jumping in the water. And they swam across, and they were able to go to the hospital and get treatment. Folks, that's what Jesus Christ did for us with regard to death. He went into it, and He came out on the other side with a fist of triumph in the air. He overcame the grave. But here's the cool part. Jesus didn't just stay over on the other bank. No, He came back. He came back to get us, to guide us, to teach us, to love us, to bring us to where He is. Because that's what He wants for you. That's what He wants for me most of all. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. The Word of God says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope." Living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You got one more blank, don't you? There's one more thing I want you to see in the resurrection, folks, and it's this right here. Number 4, there is power in the resurrection. Power. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. By His power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and He will raise us also. Folks, it ain't any plainer than that, does it? Man, you don't even have to know English. You don't have to speak American that good to understand that, right? He will raise us also. Friends, there is power. There's power in the resurrection because Jesus is alive. He's alive right now. He is right here with us. He didn't rise from the dead and just go take off into heaven, you know, to come back someday and just leave us floundering around here on our own. No, He is alive here and now by the power of His Holy Spirit who dwells in you in that moment when you say yes in faith to Jesus Christ. And that same power will deliver you through the grave. Just like it did for Jesus. That power is here for us in our daily lives. God, He desires that we experience it more deeply. It's here to give us victory over sin. It's here to bring us hope. It's here to bring us encouragement. It's here to shine in a dark world in which we live. It's right here to enable us to worship and to celebrate. This morning, my prayer, my heart's desire for you is that you, if you don't know the risen Savior right now, that before we leave today, you will know Jesus Christ, the risen one. The year was 1930, and the communist leader from Russia, from Moscow, his name was Nikolai Bukharin. He journeyed from Moscow to Kiev in the Ukraine. His mission was to address the Ukrainian assembly. His subject for the day was atheism, communist atheism. And for a solid hour, he aimed his heavy artillery on the Christian faith. He hurled argument after argument. He heaped ridicule upon ridicule. And at last, he was finished. He was done with what he thought was an absolute masterpiece of destruction to bring down the Christian faith. He thought what he had lying before him and all these assemblymen were the smoldering ashes of Christianity. He thought, there is no way after what I just laid on these guys, there's no way that any of them are going to trust Jesus Christ for anything because He is dead. God is dead. And so he was really proud of himself. He was really pompous. He was really full of himself. And so he raised his hand and said, now, are there any questions? I think we've covered everything, but are there any questions? And there was one really old gentleman sitting down the front who raised his hand and asked if he could speak. And he said, absolutely, sir. Come on up. And so the old fellow, he came up the stairs. And I mean, he could barely walk. He had a cane. He held onto the rail, and he came up. And he walked up to the front, and he looked over everybody, kind of edged the communist guy over, and he kind of looked at everybody, and he tapped on the microphone a couple of times. And you know what he said? He is risen!
He is risen indeed.
And that's what everybody in that room did. They all stood up. He said, He is risen!
He is risen indeed.
And they sent that guy back to Moscow. You know what I'm saying? Folks, Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen from the grave. He has overcome death, and He brings love and power and hope and life. You cannot have life to the full without Jesus Christ. And I beg you, I plead with you to trust Him as your Savior and Lord today. I would love to pray with you. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Everyone, pray with me. Father, right now we approach Your throne of grace. I pray that if there's one soul in this room, one person in this place who does not know You, I pray that right now, in the depths of their hearts, they will proclaim, yes, Jesus, I believe in You. I trust You. I will follow You. I pray that they will know the depth of Your love and the extent that You went to proclaim that love through death on the cross, but by walking through that grave into life everlasting. I thank You for the power of the gospel. I thank You for the blood of Jesus. I thank You for a loving Savior. But most of all today, Father, I thank You for a risen Savior.
Thank you for listening to Sermon Audio for Crossroads Fellowship in Cadiz, Kentucky. To learn more about Crossroads Fellowship, visit www.crossroadscadiz.com for service times and ways to connect. Come visit us on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and travel life's roads with us.